Hi, I'm Aiden.
And I'm Don Carlo, and you're listening to Binge Watchers,
where we talk about everything TV.
Everything?
Everything. Tune in as we discuss a new show every episode.
And we'll decide if it's binge watchable.
This is Binge Watchers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Binge Watcher Season 3.
Wow, fun. This is great. We're back in studio.
Oh,
this one's a little cozier than the last one. This one's a little bit more
close. You feel a little cozier,
yeah,
Aiden, in the studio?
The last one had like a window coming into the recording studio.
Oh, so that's true, in the public.
Everyone could see us. Yeah, the whole public could see us record, but now we're in like the sequestered
So for those who don't know, like we are recording again in studio at the RCC in the Allen Slate, and we are in a different radio control room. We are in a more private, smaller, but like comfier space, as Aiden said.
Yeah, it's these control rooms are fantastic. But anyway, let's jump right into the topic of today's episode.
So today's topic. So last episode, we talked about our favorite shows of 2021. And that was just sort of like a look into the past. But now we are going to look into the future. And we are going to talk about our most anticipated shows of 2022.
DQ, that was incredibly well put,
buddy. Oh, thank you.
Yes, that was. I was thinking like, wow, that's some deep stuff right there.
That is a podcast voice right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get in now to our favorite TV shows. Our most anticipated TV shows of 2022.
A lot of amazing shows have already come out, but you know, it's still March. It's still early in the year. So we are going, and there's still a lot of shows that still need to come out. So shows like Euphoria, one of my most anticipated shows of 2021, of 2022, but then it already came out early. So that's not going to be on the list, but Aiden and I, we both have five shows, right, to talk about?
Five shows, yeah.
Yes.
We're very, very excited.
So let me dive right into it. So I will be going first with my top five, and then Aiden will go next with his top five.
Let's see it.
So my first most anticipated show of 2022, this isn't like in no particular order, is a show that Aiden and I actually did an episode on.
Oh, boy.
And it's a show that Aiden absolutely loves. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, what is this?
It is Bridgerton season 2.
Okay, so that's it. So I'm not the co-host of this podcast anymore. We're going to recruit someone else. So just email your resumes to the email. I'm done. Goodbye.
Aiden's walking out of the studio right now.
Studio.
Yes, you're hearing it from it first.
Season 2. Okay, let's hear it.
If you guys didn't already listen to our first episode last season about Bridgerton, so Bridgerton is a historical period piece Regency drama from Shonda Rhimes, from Shondaland, creator of Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, all that good stuff. And this show, Bridgerton, was one of the biggest shows of 2020. And it was part of her Netflix deal. And it, like, blew up the entire internet when it came out. And it follows 8 Bridgerton siblings. And each season basically follows a new sibling as they search for love and purpose. And I loved it. I watched it. I told Aiden to watch it because I'm like, Aiden, Downton Abbey, it's going to be so good.
And I watched it.
And he absolutely loved it, right?
You and I have pretty similar tastes in TV.
Yes.
I'll tell you this right now. That was definitely the most heated episode
that we've ever done. I got so, because I was so passionate about Bridgerton, especially when the hype was there and I was so into it because I love a good romance. I love a good love story, and I was like, okay, it's straight too, so maybe Aiden will like it too.
I will say, like,
the actors are hot, but
I don't despise the show. I don't hate it.
We have buried that like tension under the past in the past already, so
I think I've softened up to it a little bit over...
No. You don't have to change your opinion. Again, we've already settled it in our episode, so...
You should go watch that episode. That was definitely one of my episodes.
It was so funny.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a bad show. I think
you had positives about it.
Oh, yeah. No, I will say set design was great. Oh, man. Out of this world.
Yes, and production design.
You know, I will say, I know sometimes shows get flack for, like, these period pieces for remixing modern songs, but I kind of dig that a little bit.
Yeah,
I think it's nice.
And that was the original part of Bridgerton, which I'm glad you liked as well, because I really liked that. Even though it's set in, like, Regency, and I know some people would be like, oh, like... If you haven't watched it, which I'm surprised because it was the biggest show of 2020, but people were like, oh, like, I'm not, like, even for me, I'm not the biggest fan of period pieces compared to Aiden, but I loved it. And, like, I loved how it mixed, like, modern times with Regency. Mm-hmm. So, like, stuff like the costumes look different from, it wasn't historically accurate. The music was, like, stuff like from Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish, but like, shown in, like, orchestra. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. And, yeah, stuff like that. And, but it was just great. And as for season two, Aiden, do you know what season two is about? Have you heard?
No, I heard it's coming out this year, though. Tell me about it.
It is coming out on March 22nd, I believe.
Oh, wow. Holy shit.
And so, yeah, this month, if depending on when you're listening to this, we're recording on March 11th. It comes out in the next, like, 10 days.
Wow. Holy smokes.
And you know how I said it follows, like, a different Bridgerton sibling?
Oh, yeah, because the both, what's it called? It follows the son, right?
Yeah, so, okay, so the first season followed Daphne, mm-hmm. remember, the eldest daughter?
Yeah.
And this season follows the eldest son, which is Anthony Bridgerton.
Anthony, yeah.
Yes, and I am so excited because Anthony Bridgerton is... I know everyone loves the Duke. Everyone loves the Duke. The Duke was fine. The Duke was hot. But, like, Anthony, like, they're all hot. So, like... Anthony is just, oh my god. You know I like my white men. So.
You know, it's the sideburns, I think. Those big, thick, mutton chops.
It's not even the
sideburns.
It's just that body, yaddy, yaddy. And oh, it's just, man. Like, you know, and... oh, you want to hear an interesting, like, side note, fun fact? The actor that plays Anthony Bridgerton, Jonathan Bailey, he's actually gay in real life.
Wow. Oh, DQ. Well, you should go hit him.
But he's... Oh, shut up. No, and he's fine. And, like, it shows, like, how talented of an actor he is if he mm-hmm. can play, like, such a straight, masculine, like, you know, head of the house. Why are you laughing?
Sorry.
Head of the household, like... eldest brother, but in this new season, basically he's considered a rake. I don't know if you know what a rake is in, like, Regency terms. I don't know how well versed you are in Regency terms.
Oh, yeah, you might need to explain
that. A rake is sort of like equivalent to, like, a playboy, but it's like Regency, like, terms slang. I think I know, right? It's weird.
I've never heard that before.
I think they mentioned it in the first season, but it's been a while, so.
You know what? That's an extra tidbit of knowledge.
Yeah, rake is, like, basically, like, a playboy, like, someone who sleeps around, stuff like that.
Oh, man. Oh, that's just fantastic.
And, yeah, so he's known as the rake, so his mother is like, oh, Anthony, like, I need to pair you up with a wife, and he's like, no, like, that's not what I'm about. I'm not about commitment and all that. But then this new family shows up. Which is, they're called the Sharmas. So, you know how, like, in the last season, it was an interracial couple between a white family and a black family?
Mm-hmm.
This season, because Shonda Rhimes is committed to diversity, she is pairing a white family with a Indian family.
Oh,
a family of Indian descent, which is amazing because we barely get...
Yeah, it looks like it represented a lot.
Brown representation, yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I like that. I like
that's
that
amazing. So, in comes two sisters, Edwina and Kate Sharma? Sharma? Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, on fun fact, I'm really looking... You can tell I'm a big Bridgerton fan because I already read the book.
Wow!
The second book. So I kind of know what happens. And it's great. It's interesting. It's
nice.
They obviously change a lot from the book to the show, so it's going to be... I'm still going to be in for a surprise. But yeah, I'm just so excited because Kate is... not your average, like, damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. You know what that means, right? So
yeah.
She's a very powerful, independent woman. And Anthony has a choice between her and her sister. And it's like a love triangle. There's going to be more steamy scenes. More incredible, you know, sex.
Wow.
Aiden. So... are you looking forward to another fabulous season two?
Yeah,
of Bridgerton?
Absolutely. I'm
your
just looking forward
show?
To Bridgerton season two. I mean, that's what I'm living for this year. 2022 is the year of Bridgerton.
Yes, amazing. Maybe in fourth year, if we continue this,
we'll go back to Bridgerton
season two. But yeah, very, very excited for that.
Nice.
So my second most anticipated show of 2022 is a show that, which is its last season, season two, came out almost like 2-3 years ago.
Wow.
So I've been waiting for this because of COVID. Obviously, a lot of these shows have been pushed back because of COVID. And I don't know if you know the show, Aiden, but one of my most anticipated shows is Atlanta Season 3.
I have absolutely heard of Atlanta.
You've heard of it? Have you watched it?
I have not gone on to watch it,
ooh,
though.
Ooh, okay.
But I've heard it's great.
It is amazing. And I think, Aiden, I don't know if you like a very surrealist comedy because it's not your average show. Atlanta is... Very hard to describe. So basically, it follows Donald Glover's character, Earn. Donald Glover, if you don't know, he's a rapper
very
as well.
Very famous comedian as well.
Yeah, very famous comedian and very famous singer. He's Childish Gambino.
Yeah, he's pretty freaking great.
Yeah, he's amazing. I love his music as well. And he plays Earn, who basically is like living that low-class life, and he takes a job helping his cousin, who is a famous rapper named Paperboy. I know, right? It's amazing. In, like, the rundown suburbia of Atlanta, as they try to help each other make it big in the music industry. Mm-hmm. But it is so much more than that. Literally, every single episode is, like, a surrealist trip. Huh. You know, it's not like it's far, far from a sitcom where, you know, you have your typical three-act structure, you have your typical joke and setup. Atlanta, literally, like, episodes can, like, take you to, like, a whole different direction. Like, it deals with, like, race relations, it has a lot of social commentary on the state of America, and, like, it's incredible, and it's so well done. The directing and the writing is out of this world. And it became one of the most amazing shows for its originality.
I really want to watch Atlanta. I've heard nothing but good things about it and Donald Glover.
Yeah. Honestly, I have a conflicted because, like, honestly, there's so much in Atlanta that you just have to, like, watch, almost, like, think about it afterwards. It's one of those shows you have to think about afterwards, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not, like, it's not easy to watch. Like, there's a whole episode where, in season two, where Paperboy is, like, doing, like, a talk show interview with someone, and, like, that's the whole episode. It's like they get into arguments about, like, race and gender, but it's so much fun. It's so funny. It's so, like, despite it being, like, surreal, it's, like, hilarious. And, like, yeah, like, you just get, like, weird images. Like, there's one episode where they just the group just accidentally goes into, like, a frat boy, like, university, like, sorority house, and then there's, like, images of Confederate flags, and it looks like a cult. Ooh. Like, it just takes you from, like, one direction to the next.
Huh.
That's how surreal it is.
Okay, I totally want to watch that.
Yes, and season three, basically, I think Paperboy and Earn, they have... Oh, and Darius, you know Lakeith Stanfield?
I think I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing, and they're like a trio, and they basically head to, I think, Paris, France. So they move up to, like, a new location.
Nice.
And more surreal. Honestly, you can't even predict what's going to happen in Atlanta because it's just that type of show. And I know I'm not explaining it right because I have a time limit and I can't go into it. But Atlanta season three was so popular, and Donald Glover knew its success that he just... Have you heard of his... fun fact, have you heard of his tweet, a controversial tweet, when he was making Atlanta season three and four?
No, what was it?
He literally tweeted out, like, when people wanted news of the new season of Atlanta, because it's been so long, he's like... he made this controversial tweet where he's like, just finished season three and four of Atlanta, like, writing the scripts, and he's like, honestly, we are the greatest. See, he said something along the lines of, like, we are the greatest show on television. Even the Sopranos can only the Sopranos can touch us.
Whoa. Okay, now I need to watch this.
And that is, like,
a bold statement.
He was literally like, yeah, like, it's almost equivalent to, like, John Lennon calling himself God.
That, you know what? It's a, you know, a bold statement makes me want to watch this show.
I think he's a little full of himself, but, like, even though I love the show, but yeah, it is, like, amazing still, regardless. And they're currently season three and four are coming out this year.
Oh, nice.
Because they wrote the scripts all together and then they're filming back to back.
Oh, nice.
So Atlanta season three will be available on FX and maybe on Disney Plus. I think it's gonna be on Disney Plus. Like,
if it's on Disney Plus, I'll definitely,
like,
watch
on
it.
The Star, like, add-on, where, like, with, like, the adult shows and all that. So yeah, to take a look at that, or, like, illegal streaming. No, we didn't say that. coming out March 25th. The next show on my list is a show that I know a lot of you, and especially Aiden, I don't think have even heard of it. And it's actually a miniseries from a very popular book that came out a couple of years ago. And that is called Pachinko. Aiden, I'm sure you haven't heard of Pachinko
at
all, right?
No.
But it is Oh my god, I am so excited. So Pachinko is based on a book by Min Jin Lee, and it is it was a National Book Award finalist. It was one of the most acclaimed books of that year and won a ton of awards and all that. And it follows the thing that's weird is that, like, even though it's based on a book, I haven't even read the book. I read books, and Aiden, I know you read books as well.
We both read books.
We're both readers as well. But I haven't read the book. But just the concept alone, just already hooks me. And it is about, basically the synopsis is, it's a saga about four generations of a poor Korean immigrant family as they fight to control their destiny in 20th century Japan as they are exiled from their home. So, I love shows that are about family. And I think if you listen to our last episode, we talked about our practicum, Aiden, the project that we're working on. So I pitched two shows and they were both about different types of family. Mm-hmm. So I just love shows that are intergenerational. I love shows that are about past and present, that follows a family and their fight to survive and how they grow and develop and stuff like that, and how they come together and stuff like that. So this show is an 8-episode miniseries that is coming out, I think, in May or something this spring on Apple TV Plus.
Wow.
Yes, and you have Apple TV, right,
Aiden?
I do
have Apple TV.
Yes, and you should definitely get Apple TV for those listening, because it is a good addition. It is actually a worthwhile subscription. It has Dickinson, which we talked about last
time. Great show. Fantastic.
And it's going to have Pachinko. And Pachinko, I watched the trailer. I should show you the trailer after, Aiden.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the trailer is just, it's so beautifully shot. It is so amazingly, crafted, or the way it looks, and it also has an all Korean, all Asian cast, which is something that I am very passionate about, because I'm striving to make shows that have that kind of representation. And this show is made by and starring Korean actors and all that.
Nice. That's awesome. I really like that.
And it's just it's gonna be one of those sweeping emotional family dramas. I think it starts all the way in the early 1900s, and then it moves all the way to the present day. And it's about how your ancestors or your grandparents, they fight to create a better life for themselves, and it's about how that impacts their later generations of family.
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
actually.
Right? Doesn't it sound cool?
That sounds good. So you should send me that book. I'm reading a bunch of books right now. I should totally send it.
Yes, I should send it. And we should read it together, Aiden. I love it. I want to read
it. Absolutely.
Ooh, a little buddy read.
Nice.
I know we're talking about binge watchers, but it's okay. We're talking about shows.
We
are
very well read people, DQ.
Yes, we are read very, very well read, regardless.
All right, what's your fourth show, DQ?
My fourth show is Stranger Things Season 4.
Nice.
Which is coming out, I think, this June?
I think so,
yes, this June. And it has been a long time coming, because obviously this is another show that was delayed because of COVID. And the actors are probably already our age, I swear.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's crazy how old they are now. It's nuts.
And actually, I'm gonna leave that to you, Aiden, to talk about it later, but all I'll say is I'm very, very excited. I think is this the last season or no? I think they're making season 5.
They're going to do season 5.
And that will be the last.
Which is
crazy. So it's almost over. But Stranger Things, I think we already did an episode on Stranger Things. That was our first episode.
That was one of our first episodes, yeah. I'm a huge fan. We're both huge fans of Stranger Things.
Yeah, just the 80s nostalgia and just the supernatural Steven Spielberg elements of it. It's just such a vibe. And the actors, the characters, they're in for another wild adventure, and stuff that hasn't been resolved from the third season. Certain characters that may or may not be dead, let's just say that.
Wow.
There's going to be more mysteries to unsolve.
I'm really excited.
Season 4.
Very excited
about that. And my fifth and final show that I want to talk about is a show that I think is actually a little underrated. I don't hear enough people talking about it. And it is called Love, Victor Season 3. Huh. Have you heard of Love, Victor, Aiden?
Ooh, I don't think I have, DQ.
Really? Have you heard of the movie, and for the audience as well, have you guys heard of the movie Love, Simon?
I have heard of Love, Simon, yes.
You have heard of Love, Simon?
Yeah.
So Love, Simon is was influential because it was the first mainstream gay teen coming-of-age film and romance. mainstream. And it was a big hit back in 2018. And Love, Victor is essentially the spinoff of that show. Huh. It is set after the events of Love, Simon, and it follows a new teenager named Victor Salazar, who moves into, like, you know, the school in Love, Simon that they go into, Creekwood High. I don't think you watched the movie, right?
Don't think I've watched Love, Simon. No.
Oh my gosh, Aiden,
definitely gotta watch that.
That's a movie. You should watch that. Simon went to this high school named Creekwood High, but then after he graduates, a new kid named Victor Salazar moves into to Creekwood High as a new student, and basically he is also struggling with his sexuality and coming out and finding love. The reason why this show is great, and the reason why it's actually important, is because even though Love, Simon was very, very influential because it put a queer person at the forefront of a mainstream show, a mainstream film, the issues that people were having with it was that it was too white and too middle class.
Yeah, I could see that.
You could see that, right? It's like, yes, we have representation, and yes, any sort of representation is good, but it alienates a lot of people from the queer community when it's focused on someone who is still white and privileged.
I can see that. Absolutely.
And like, I love Simon. Don't get me wrong. I love that movie. I love the character, but I see where they're coming from. So essentially, the writers and creators of Love, Simon essentially made Love, Victor to follow a Latinx or a Mexican American family, immigrant family, as they move into the town, and Victor moves to Creekwood High, and they're not rich, they're not privileged, they come from a traditional immigrant family household, and Victor doesn't have it. Let's just say Victor doesn't handle it, or has it as easy of a coming out story as Simon did in the movie. Because Simon's story, because I know not everyone probably watched it like you, but the way that his story ended, it was happy. It was satisfying. It was very this is very heartwarming, but not every queer person's story is heartwarming. Sometimes they go through more struggles than what meets the eye sometimes, depending on your different family structures. So throughout these first two seasons of Love, Victor, he sort of struggles not just with his sexuality, but coming out, because his parents are pretty traditional. And we see how that works within the show. And it's just one of those teen shows that you just love, like just wrapping yourself around in a blanket and just getting cozy and just watching these characters be, and makes you feel like a teenager, right?
I like that.
Yeah, you like that, right? And season 3 will actually be its final season.
Wow.
As well. So I'm very, very excited. Victor's story, if you guys have watched Love, Victor, you know that he has a lot of romantic interests, and you get to see how that all ends in the final season, especially with that cliffhanger in season 2 for those that have watched it.
That sounds pretty cool.
And I think each season has 10 episodes, so this is this is also going to be the last 10 episodes, and it is actually on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Yeah, this summer. It comes out every summer on Disney Plus with the Star adult extension subscription added onto your Disney Plus subscription.
I'll give that a watch.
Yes, give it a watch, Aiden. It's good. And watch Love, Simon first.
Absolutely.
Yes, but those are my five most anticipated shows of 2022. We will keep you updated on how I feel when I watch all of them.
Nice. That's awesome. So next is going to be my five most anticipated shows of 2021. I think if
2022.
Oh, sorry, 2022. Sorry. I think that one of the things we really want to. What am I saying here? The first show. If you've watched the podcast, you'll know that this show is it's exactly what I want from 2022. It's The Boys season 3.
Yes.
It is coming out in June, and I am so excited. The Boys is easily one of the best television shows I've ever watched.
You were obsessed with that show when it came out.
I'm obsessed with The Boys. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal television series. I'm a real sucker for that whole evil Superman concept. I feel like, despite some authors not liking it, I think it's a very cool concept. It does. Mm-hmm. It's a nice case study concept. And I think The Boys is such an awesome take on that evil Superman genre. It's super memorable. There is not a single bad character. It's just overall, it's just absolutely phenomenal. I'm so excited for season 3. If you watch season 2, then I mean, I don't even know where the show's going to go. But overall, I'm very, very excited.
I haven't watched it yet. I still need to watch it.
Honestly, DQ, The Boys is just phenomenal.
Yeah, what I am interested in is its satire of superheroes.
Superheroes, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it original, right?
It hits close to home a lot of times. There's just a lot of real stuff that goes on in that show that you can totally apply to real life. And I think it's what makes it so intriguing but so sad at the same time. Because while these superheroes are their own characters, they definitely fill this archetype of being these out-of-touch, really mean celebrities. And I think that's honestly one of the things that makes the show just so fantastic.
I was about to say, and it's filmed in Toronto.
Yes. A fun fact about that show, if on episode 1, when Butcher and Huey are walking down the street, you can see the Popeyes I go to sometimes.
Wow. Don't you see Yonge and Dundas Square?
You see Yonge and Dundas Square.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Popeyes I go to. Yeah. And Land Famous
Aiden,
Landmark.
So when are you going to work on The Boys since it's filmed in Toronto? That seems like a show that's so up your alley to work on.
That's definitely, I'll be going on Facebook to see that stuff.
Yes.
For my next show, it's actually the Game of Thrones sequel or the Game of Thrones spinoff.
Isn't it a prequel?
Oh, I think it might be a prequel. It is House of Dragons. The thing is, I think the Game of Thrones season 7-8 did leave a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, including mine. I used to have these big family get-togethers for Game of Thrones, and season 7 and 8 rolled around. We just really weren't excited about the show anymore because it's like it didn't. All the plot threads that were set up were never explored or finished, and it just felt really unsatisfying. I do think House of Dragons has a chance to be its own thing. The production design looks great, and overall, I think it's going to be a really interesting experience, and it's got a great cast as well. And it explores definitely a part of Game of Thrones that I think is intriguing to a lot of fans, which is the Targaryen dynasty. And I think it'll be an interesting watch. I hope it's good, but I mean, I'm kind of crossing my fingers, but I am excited for it.
Yeah, because you never know, right? Like with Game of Thrones, especially that ending.
Yeah.
Which I haven't finished, but isn't this set 3,000 years in the past or something?
It's
something
set like that. Quite a while in the past. But it's a very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
For my third show, it's a Marvel TV show. It is Moon Knight.
I'm actually looking forward to that, too.
Yes, it is. I'm very shocked that Disney did Moon Knight. Moon Knight's a very dark Marvel character.
Really?
Yes, he's Marvel Batman, except he swears and he kills people.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. Oscar Isaac is, I think, one of the greatest actors of our time.
Oh, I love Oscar.
He has such a great range. I mean, if you watch Dune, he is fantastic as Duke Leto Atreides.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes from playing this noble duke to being this crazed psycho in Moon Knight, and I think that really speaks to him as an actor. Moon Knight's a very interesting character. My brother loves him, and I think the show's going to be great.
Have you read the comics?
My brother has, absolutely. And I think that Moon Knight will bring a lot of freshness to Marvel, because Marvel can be, it's PG-13. I know Moon Knight will definitely not be as brutal as he is in the comic books, but it'll be a really good experience.
I really hope that this show, is great because, Marvel tends to do, a very PG-13, they want to reach a wide audience, but that kind of stops them from going the extra mile and being dark and being gritty.
And unique,
exactly.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I have hope for this show.
Yeah. For my fourth show, it is the same as DQ, Stranger Things Season 4. I am so excited for this show.
Do you know what it's about? What's
going to happen? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's been so long. Since the last season.
I think that Stranger Things Season 4, the whole Stranger Things series is simply a phenomenal series. It really is. When I think of Netflix, of the originals that put it on the map, it's that and House of Cards.
Yeah, exactly.
And Stranger Things has really stood the test of time in terms of quality. The actors, despite them almost being our age now, which really scares me.
Yeah, that's scary. That's a little concerning.
Yeah,
it makes us feel old.
They are phenomenal actors, and they have great, promising careers ahead of them. Just the show is very intriguing. It's like our generation's Goonies.
Exactly. Yes, you mentioned that in our first episode.
Yeah,
it's what a reference. What a throwback.
Yeah, it's a really, it's just a phenomenally written show through and through. I really can't think of a lot of bad episodes or episodes I wasn't too fond
of. Well, I will say season 2 and 3 wasn't as good as season 1, in my opinion. I think we talked about this, so I really hope season 4 will live up to expectations and like hopefully surprise us and like give us something new and fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully it does. Yeah. I'm very, very excited for it. And the last show, well, I am excited for it because I am a fan of the series.
Aiden's ending off on a big show right here.
This is the Lord of the Rings Amazon series.
Ooh.
I am cautiously optimistic for this show. I do think that with all the money that's been put into it, I don't think they'll let it fail.
Sorry, go. They already renewed the show, I think, for like season 2 and 3.
Well, so, you know, it will speak to it. I think it'll have good quality. I just am nervous because I don't think Lord of the Rings is a franchise you can do a lot with now. It's really The Hobbit, the Lord of the Rings series, and then a few other books that J.R.R. Tolkien did. And I guess you could do other shows, but you can only do so much with fantasy. And I do think Lord of the Rings is pretty quintessential fantasy, but there's only so much you can do with it.
This is like House of Dragons. Like, I think this is set like 300 years in the past.
Lord of the Rings is set very far in the past in terms of where it takes place in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Have you heard about the budget of this show?
Wow. Oh my goodness gracious.
Fun fact for those listening who don't know about Lord of the Rings. So Lord of the Rings is essentially Amazon's way of having their own Game of Thrones, and it has already been cited as like the most expensive TV show in history.
I think $500 million.
I think for its first season, I think $1 billion.
It has a $1 billion budget.
Yeah.
Wow.
For the whole season together. Oh my god. And it's only, I think, 8 to 10 episodes.
Well, you know what? Then I am expecting insane quality for this, especially in the graphics and special effects and design department.
Yeah.
I'm expecting big things because Lord of the Rings, almost over a decade ago, has nailed that, and The Hobbit did it great as well. I'm expecting big things from the show.
Oh, it's already looking like epic. Like, have you watched the fun fact? The trailer's already out. The teaser trailer.
I didn't think it looked too bad. Actually,
it didn't look too bad. It definitely looked very CGI heavy.
Yeah,
but like, you can tell that they had a lot of money.
Absolutely.
To spend. And I think there's like 30 main characters, like a 30 ensemble cast.
That is going to be hard to keep track of.
I know. So I'm worried. But,
I will
I love Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings does give me hope. There's another very high budget TV show that I'm not excited for, and it's the Halo TV series.
Wait, you're not excited for that?
No wonder
it's not on your list.
I'll say this. Halo is a very special game for me.
Yeah.
I've been playing it for as long as I can remember. I haven't had an Xbox for a long time, we have an old Xbox One that we managed to.
Didn't you say last episode you were looking forward to that show?
No, I'm not looking forward to it. It has the same budget as I think it's the second most expensive TV show of all time compared to Lord of the Rings.
Wait, you're lying, really?
No,
even I didn't hear about
that. And Halo, you can't do that show without a massive budget because there's so much CGI with like the Covenant and the Spartan armor. And it's a crazy expensive, but it's non-canon, so it takes place its own separate canon outside the main Halo story, which I don't get why they would do that. There's a lot of room to explore still. The design looks great. It's not Steve Downs as Master Chief. I'm okay with that. It's just, I don't know. I think it's just going to be okay.
I am also very skeptical about Halo because did you hear that they switched showrunners like 3 or 4 times?
Yeah, this show has been in production hell for as long as I can remember.
And
so
usually when shows are in production hell, like it doesn't, the final end result does not end usually well.
Yeah.
So
I'm not too excited for that. But anyway, that are my 5 most anticipated shows of 2022.
That is our 5 most anticipated shows of 2022. We did it. Yes.
We're very, very excited for these shows. And when they come out, we're definitely going to watch them.
We're going to watch them. We're going to talk about them. And we also want to hear from you. What are your most anticipated shows of 2022? Let us know on our Instagram and follow us on Instagram at Binge Watchers Podcast.
Yeah, we got some new art, so it looks all spiffy now.
Yes. New and improved. Upgraded season.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Bye. Hey, we ended right on time.
We did it.
Yes.
Nice. Okay, let me stop recording.
and let us stop recording.
Okay, hold up. Recording stopped. It's still recording. Just wait.